such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How many of us are thankful that we are here? Amen. This morning is a special Sabbath because it is our communion Sabbath that we have to experience the ordinance of humility. And before we dive into the message, I want to just say one more short prayer before we go into the message. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we plead your presence. We plead for your spirit. We plead for your angels. And we plead for your comfort around us this morning. Father, speak to our hearts. Open our hearts. Open our minds. May Jesus be lifted up. Hide me behind the cross. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three accounts to Jesus' Last Supper. The first one being found in Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 30. The second one is found in Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 26. And the third one is found in Luke chapter 22, verses 7 to 38. Now, these three books or accounts are what theologians call the Synoptic Gospels. How many of us have ever heard of that term before? You see, the Greek word synoptikos means from the same point of view or to see all together. You see, the Synoptic Gospels includes the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew highlights the betrayal and disciples' failure. Mark emphasizes fulfillment of prophecy and the covenant. Luke emphasizes fellowship and the kingdom of God. But I have a question this morning. Why isn't John included in the Synoptic Gospels? Why isn't John included? You see, in contrast to the Synoptics, the Gospel of John presents largely different materials used in a unique narrative tone and offers a more reflective theological perspective on Jesus' life, death, and ministry. In fact, if I was to ask you, what is the central theme of the Gospel of John summed up in one word, what word would that be? Love. Good, you guys are correct. You see, love appears 57 times in the Gospel of John. And this morning, I would like to dive into John's account on the Lord's Supper. If you please, open your Bibles with me to John chapter 13 as we read and break down each verse. John chapter 13, we're going to start with verse 1. When you get there, let me hear you say amen. I hear some pages still turning. John chapter 13, we're going to look at verse 1. When you get there again, please say amen. The Bible says, John chapter 13, by the way, I've entitled this message, The Lesson No One Wanted. The Lesson That No One Wanted. It says here in verse 1, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It's interesting to note here, it mentions the word Passover. Question, what is the Passover? What is the Passover? Well, the Passover was an annual meal or celebration which celebrated the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Right? You can look in Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. And when you read that passage... And when you read that passage, it talks about the Passover lamb being sacrificed on the night of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. It talks about the blood placed on the doorstep, on the doorposts, caused the plague of death to pass safely over the household. And the Passover included a sacrificial lamb that was sacrificed, unleavened bread, and even bitter herbs. The Passover also looks forward to the ultimate deliverance from sin, death, and evil. And it says here in verse 1 that he knew that his hour had come. Did Jesus knew his hour had come? How did he know this? Because Jesus was a student of prophecy. Can you say amen? Jesus was a student of prophecy. You see, Jesus understood what the prophecies of Daniel mention about him dying on the cross in the midst of the week, right? Jesus understood the 70-week prophecy. He understood the 2,300 days, right? He understood that he was about to fulfill prophecy, and the cross and the resurrection was just on the horizon of things to come. And notice the motif in verse 1. John mentions the word that is mentioned 57 times. What is that word, everyone? Love, right? In verse 1, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them even to the end. John here is bringing up the motive of Jesus. And that motive, again, is love. In the Greek, it's agape, unconditional love. Jesus has this unconditional love for his very own who are in the world, and he loved them to the end. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2, it says here, and supper being ended, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. It's interesting to note that in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, the context here is that Jesus has just been tempted by Satan. How many times? Three times, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, X, Y, and Z, right? At the end of the temptation, notice what Luke chapter 4, verse 13 says. It says here, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him, being Jesus, until an opportune time. It is interesting to note that after Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan departed from Jesus, and he began to wait for the great opportunity to tempt Jesus. And in this paragraph, and in this passage that we're reading in John chapter 13, we see that Satan comes in to the heart and to the mind of who, everyone? Of Judas. And he begins to come into the heart and mind of Judas, and Judas now knows, I know what to do now. I'm going to betray Jesus. Let's go on to verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. Notice here in verse 3, you see, Jesus understood his mission and his purpose in life. The question I want to ask you this morning is, how many of us understand our mission and our purpose in life? How many of us understand where we came from, where we are going, and what our purpose and mission in life is? You see, Jesus understood this. And now that he has this understanding, now that he has this understanding of who he is, his identity in God, now he begins to fulfill the prophecies or the word of God from Scripture. Look at verse 4. This is Jesus. He rose from supper and laid aside what, everyone? His garments. He took a towel and he girded himself. Rose basically implies that Jesus was sitting while celebrating the Passover supper. And then it says that he laid aside his garments. I was pondering on this text, and isn't it interesting how Jesus lays aside his garments? And how also the God of the universe laid aside his kingly garments to be clothed in the garb of humanity. Can you say amen? And Jesus himself being clothed in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger at the inn. Verse 5, it says here, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. I want you to imagine with me the God of heaven removing his kingly garments. He puts on the garb of humanity. He clothes himself with a towel. He stoops down and he begins washing feet. How would you feel if Jesus was washing your feet? Imagine with me, Jesus is not just washing your feet, but he gets into the heels. And eventually he gets in between the toes of the disciples' feet. Imagine Jesus then wipes the dirty feet with his towel, the towel that he just put on top of himself. He wipes it with the towel. Imagine the towel. It was once white, but now it is covered in dirt. You see, friends, there's a powerful lesson here, and that is that Jesus is our sin bearer. Can you say amen? He took upon our sins, and he died on the cross of Calvary for you and I. Imagine the disciples' feet, which was once covered in dirt, but now it is clean. If I could illustrate this, I want to ask you guys, who is the most powerful political figure in a country or in a nation? A president, or perhaps even a king, right? President or king. Now, imagine with me that president or that king comes to his military leaders and he says, you know what? I want you to give me a military uniform. Give me a military uniform. And not only that, but I want you to give me the rank of a private. Now, for those of us who don't know, the rank of a private is basically the lowest class in the military, correct? A private, right? And he says, not only just give me the military uniform, give me the rank of a private, but listen to this, but allow me to scrub the toilets. Allow me to shine and polish the soldiers' shoes. Allow me to serve rather than to be served. Imagine that. You know, it reminds me of what Jesus has done for us. You see, friends, in Philippians chapter 2, looking at verse 5 through 8, you don't have to turn there, but it says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in who, everyone? In Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a what, everyone? A bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found as in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, and even the death of the cross. Verses 6 through 11 gives us the interaction between Jesus and Peter. You can see Peter's resistance for Jesus to wash his very own feet. Why? Because it shows human pride and human insecurity. We don't have to read through that, but I want to ask you a question. How many of us struggle to let Jesus serve us and to wash even our feet? How many of us are afraid for Jesus to get in between the toes or perhaps underneath our toenails of our lives? We don't want Jesus there. Sometimes we're so insecure that, you know, no, you're not going to touch my feet. Just like what Peter did. You're never going to wash my feet. Skipping down to verse 12, it says here, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash, who, everyone? One another's feet. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verse 16, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who's sent greater than he who sent him. And verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Brothers and sisters, as we come to a close, our message is simple. Our title is The Lesson That No One Wanted. Let me give you three practical lessons that we can learn about the disciples. Number one, They didn't want to learn the lesson of humility. They didn't want to learn the lesson of what, everyone? Of humility. You see, it takes humility to wash someone's feet, but it also takes humility to allow someone to wash our feet. Point number two, they didn't want to learn the lesson of vulnerability. What did I say, everyone? Point number two, they didn't want to learn the lesson of vulnerability. You see, it takes courage to admit one's needs, to ask for help, and to confess that which is in our hearts, because our hearts are filthy and we need to be cleansed. Point number three, last but not least, they didn't want to learn the lesson of self-sacrificing love. They didn't want to learn the lesson of self-sacrificing love. You see, friends, they were willing to fight for Jesus' throne. Remember when they were arguing, who is the greatest? Are you the greatest, right? They were willing to fight for Jesus' throne, but not to kneel with his towel. You see, true love gives up its rights, its comforts, and its pride to serve others, especially when it's inconvenient or undeserved. Let me recap as I close. Point number one, they didn't want to learn the lesson of humility. Number two, they didn't want to learn the lesson of vulnerability. And number three, they didn't want to learn the lesson of self-sacrificing love. Church family, this morning, the lesson no one wanted that night is the lesson we still need today. Jesus is inviting us not just to remember his sacrifice, but to live it. When we kneel to wash one another's feet today, we're basically saying, Lord, make me more like you, humble, vulnerable, and full of self-sacrificing love. May we leave this communion not just cleansed on the outside, but changed on the inside, ready to serve as Jesus served us.